What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're never alone, folks. Sometimes you feel alone even in a crowd, but you're never alone because the Lord is there. One of his names is Jehovah Shammah, means the Lord is there. For a long time, I would pray in tongues, and I kept saying Shammah, you know, and before I even knew what it was. And then one day, I got the revelation. It was talking about the fact that God is here. The Lord is there. And he inhabits the praises of his people. You want heaven in your heart? You want to shift the atmosphere in your mind and even around you? Then lift up God. Amen. Give praise to your God. Hallelujah. Praise is toxic to the devil. He hates it. So we need to praise him more. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can change your atmosphere. Amen. By allowing God to fill your atmosphere. And we come before his presence with singing. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, a thankful heart, heart of gratitude, in his courts with praise. So God bless you for coming today on New Year's Day. New year ahead of us. How many here have made resolutions? See, we quit doing that, right? Most of us. I ain't making no resolutions. Set goals? Okay, you set some goals. Good. But, you know, it's all right to make resolutions, but it's not all right to not follow up with them, right? Especially if you do it as a vow before God, right? It's better not to vow than to vow and not do it. How many know that God will enable you to do what you can't do? And what we can't do is really live for him. We can't live for him independent of him. Without his grace daily. Isn't that right? You can try. And you can have what you may think is some success. And maybe turning over a new leaf and stopping a bad habit or whatever it might be. But ultimately, your deliverance can only come through him, the Lord. Amen. Who is your, he's your strength. So trusting not in ourselves, but in him. God is allowing things in our lives to bring us to that place of total trust. Total trust. Because like Paul said, in my weakness is his strength. The Lord told him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now in the world, it's the opposite. You are strong. You exalt yourself. Haven't we been seeing that in the political process? Everybody's talking about how great they are and how bad the other person is. And but, you know, we need to exalt Jesus. Amen. And the Lord says, if you humble yourself, I'll exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, you might get there for a season, but you're going to be miserable in that place because you put yourself there. If God puts you there, he'll keep you there. If you're being led by his Spirit, God will sustain you in the place he told you to be. God will sustain you in the place where he told you to be. The key is being where God told you to be. Wherever I am, there my servant will be also. So we need to discover, you know, even people in the world, like it was a guy from U2 there, made a pretty good statement, you know, at least one. And he says, you know, the key is to discover what God is doing and go there and do that. Discover what God is doing and do that. God has put eternity in the heart of men, so people have a certain knowledge of God. They have a certain measure of light. And we're responsible for what we know, for what we understand to be true. But being in the place that God calls you is vital. Amen. I'm talking about a daily walk wherever you find yourself, whether it's at work, you know, in the store. It's being where God told you to be. If we are truly his, if we have been purchased, bought with the precious blood of Christ, then I'm no longer my own. I actually become his property. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And as his property, really as his bride. I am to commit myself to him and him alone. Him before everything else. How many want your wives or your husbands to be committed to you and to put you above everybody else? Come on, somebody. Any other relationship, right? Your husband and your wife should be first. So it is with the Lord. When he's first, things seem to work out. Always easy, but it does mean that things will work out the way they're supposed to. So God is it's just a reminder this morning, folks, that, you know, you need to discover the will of God and you need to be where he told you to be, because God will be where he told you to be. There's sometimes God tells me to do something that I don't feel like doing. Anybody been there before? You know what God says, but you don't feel like doing it? How many know you got to get beyond the feel to the obedience? To say, okay, Lord, if you say it, we're going to do it. Why? Because when I say yes to the Lord, even when I don't feel like it, I discover life in the place where he told me to be. Why? Because God is going to be where he told me to be. God may say, I want you to shut everything down, turn off the computer or whatever, and I want you to pray, or I want you to call this person, or I want you to go here, and I want you to do that. And we may have the feeling going on, I really know it's cold out. I saw a snowflake this morning, oh my word. Northwest blast is here. I'm not picking on anybody. I know some people. I'm from Vermont, so we just go to work. You know, it's during the nor'easter, you just go to work, you know. So anyways, but it's being obedient to God's voice. How many would agree with me the safest place to be is where God told you to be? And sometimes God will send you into places, by all appearances, they're not safe places to be. I've been in a few of those. How about you? I've been in some places because God told me to go to those places that they weren't safe places, but that was the safest place to be because Jesus is with me. He's where he told me I should be. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Amen. Well, I'm going to revisit something that I have touched on in the past. It's been several years, but I believe that this is where God is directing me for today. And he also is, I believe, he's leading me in the direction of explaining what love really is. We have all kinds of opinions of what love is. Hollywood gives us their version, you know. We may even have our own opinion, but God is love. And we need to discover what real love looks like. And how many can you remember being in school when you were young and knowing that report cards were on their way? I'm still traumatized by that one. Especially when I was being a knucklehead and I wasn't paying attention, you know. I was one of those ADD kids, I think. You know, the teacher was always saying, and what do you think, Mr. Arnsmeyer? Like, huh? She'd always catch me. This is a bird, squirrel, you know. But I can remember just the sense of dread, because I knew my folks were going to look at that report card, and that was an indication of whether or not I was really paying attention. The teachers are always saying, he has the potential, though. He has the capability. It's just he's not paying attention. Anybody beside myself ever had that problem? I've always been a dreamer. I sit and I dream about things. You know, I'm a daydreamer, so even today, somebody will be talking to me and I'm daydreaming, right? Anybody ever have that happen? Just raise your hand if that's happened to you. I repent. All right. It's happened to you, so please forgive me. I don't mean it. But anyways, yeah, how many look forward to tests? You look forward to tests. You would, man. You would. That's good. That's actually, that's a good thing. You know, if we are prepared for a test, then we can look forward to a test. Have you ever been in a place where you had the stuff, you knew you had the stuff, and you're like, I just want to get this test done because I know I'm going to do well. Well, how many know we got to get beyond theory, beyond the classroom, to the application of what God says? Very simple, isn't it? It's Christianity 101. It's not just hearing, but doing what God told us to do. And King David was a man who knew success, but he also knew failure. And his personal failure, you know, kind of shaped him as a man as well. Now, life, as we know, is a series of tests, of successes and failures. And nobody likes to fail. And unfortunately, in our society today, they're teaching young people, and not just this generation, but the previous generation as well, that everybody's a winner and there's no losers, you know. So everybody gets the trophy. Well, how many know that that has an adverse effect on someone developing their potential? You want to stimulate a child to grow so that they will develop their character and their potential. If you make it easy for everybody, then you don't achieve. There has to be a certain pressure, amen, applied to our lives in order for us to produce good fruit. You can liken a believer to an olive berry, and an olive berry has olive oil. Amen. Olive oil is very good. It's God's life. It's God's presence. Amen. But the olive has to be crushed in order for that. There has to be pressure applied to the olive for that oil to be released. And what we want to do is avoid the pressure and have everything always easy in our lives. How many here, come on, let's be honest, like an easy life? I do. The rest of you, we're going to pray for you. But we like smooth sailing. We like easy days. And God is good. He blesses us with those days where everything's going my way. You know, but then we have these other times where it seems like all hell breaks loose. And one thing after another, you know, you ever hear the thing that things happen in triplicate? And well, I also believe that if you expect those things too, you can also be sowing that kind of seed. So you shouldn't be expecting bad to happen in your life. And if it does happen in your life, then know that God is with you in it. God will use it for your good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's our declaration, amen? Because the Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That was penned by who? David. David, a man who knew adversity, who had many enemies. David, who was a psalmist, but he had a heart after God. Even when he failed God, God still declared David to be a man after his own heart. Because why? Because David was willing to do all of God's will, according to Acts 13:22. In other words, David was not a quitter. David was not a quitter. Folks, you and I cannot lose as long as we don't quit. You cannot lose in this battle, in this walk, as long as you don't quit. The problem is that sometimes we want to bow out or get out of a situation that God has placed us in for the purpose of producing His life, His character, His strength, His attributes in our life. And in order for us to release the fragrance of Christ, that stubborn old outer man called the old man has to be broken. And oh boy, we hate the brokenness. We hate that. But it's part of the process. In order for the life that is within you to be released, there has to be a crushing. There has to be brokenness. You have to be brought to a place where you no longer trust in your own ability, your own strength, your own wisdom, but I trust in God's grace, His power. Amen. Is available to me. When I am weak in myself, then I can be strong in Him. But when I am strong in myself, then I'm weak spiritually. That's called pride. Pride says, I don't want to admit I'm wrong. Right? Pride wants to cover up and sweep things under the rug and live in denial to the realities that exist. But humility says, Lord, I can do whatever I want because You gave me a free will. You know? I can be a stubborn mule if I want to, but I am telling myself that you will submit and you will bow to the authority of God. That's humility. It's not being a doormat that people walk on. Actually, humility is not weakness at all. It's true strength. What it is it's strength under control. You and I have strength. Amen. God has given us abilities, but we have to submit our strength to His. We have to submit our will to His. And when we do that, His grace is strong or sufficient in us to do what we can't do naturally. What we're called to do is supernatural. And therefore, we need the supernatural ability of God to do it. So God has to take us through a series of things and tests. Sometimes the fire to refine us, to purify us, and to equip us to do His will. So that we may finish our race with joy. We may finish strong at the end. God sees the end, you see. How many know that God sees potential in you? All of us here. He sees potential in us that we often don't see in ourselves. Sometimes when we look at ourselves, we may just, based upon our past failures and problems and the way we were brought up, to think, I'm just a loser, I'm just a nobody, I'm whatever. You know, you ever get into that pity party mentality before, right? And yet God sees potential. God sees good in us. And God wants to bring the treasure out of us. But He can't do that as long as we have a hardened exterior. We have put up a shell, amen, of stubbornness that God cannot penetrate. God will not barge His way into our lives. Now, God will allow situations to change and to happen in our lives to bring us to a place to where we start to trust in His ability, because what we're faced with is now beyond what we can do naturally. Been there? Maybe there now. We're faced with a situation that's bigger than we are. We can't do anything about it. I've said it before, but you know, we don't need to be worrying about stuff we have no control over. Sometimes we're getting worried about stuff that we have no control over in the first place. God doesn't want you worried about anything. He wants you to trust Him instead. Now, David was a man who was faithful in his generation. In verse 36 of Acts 13, it says, David had served his generation and then slept with his fathers. In other words, even though David had failed in life, David had fulfilled his purpose. Now, hear me today. Anybody beside myself failed before? And you'll fail again. However, it doesn't mean it has to be the end. Amen? You're not a failure because you failed. You're only a failure if you quit. You see the difference? David got back up. David repented. God turned back. He turned back to his God. He repented of his sins. There were repercussions, yes, but God forgave David. And God still looked upon David's heart, and He saw that David was a man that He could trust with His people. He was a shepherd after His own heart. He knew that David cared for the people. He cared for the flock. He knew that he was going to do whatever God told him to do. He would do all of His good will. How many here want to do all of God's will? Not just when it's convenient, not just what I want to do for God, but am I willing to do all that God asks me to do? See, that's what it means to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. It means that we have a spirit that is willing to yield and to do whatever God tells us to do, even if that means I'm going to be uncomfortable. Oh, yes. Even if that means suffering. Was it not Paul? Was it Agabus? The prophet had warned him that sufferings awaited him in Jerusalem, persecutions. And Paul said, why do you break my heart? You know, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. He was going to do the will of God, even though he knew that suffering awaited him there. He was a man, I believe, after God's own heart as well. How many would agree with me with that? Apostle Paul was an awesome man of God. These are people that we want to look at their lives and say, you know what, they look a lot like Jesus, and that's who I want to be like when I grow up. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent means to be hot, to boil. So in other words, be a boiling pot for Jesus. Amen. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rapid boil Christians is what we need. We need people that are on fire for Jesus. Amen. That the life of God is, if you will, boiling up inside them. We've got to get past the flesh. That flesh man, you know, he's ugly dude, isn't he? That part of us that resists the will of God. That part of us that wants to do its own thing independent of God. You know, that flesh has to be brought under submission to the will of God. Folks, unless we have a prayer life, your flesh will win. Can I suggest to you that many, many Christians today, especially in America, in the ease of our lifestyles, are just stagnant, lifeless. Their flesh rules. If they feel like it, they do it. If they don't feel like it, they don't. Why? Because they're being motivated by their soul man and not the Spirit of the Lord. Because if we do not have a prayer life, and I'm talking about a prayer life where you are connecting and in communion with God, your flesh will win and you will not finish well. As soon as you want to pray, the devil is going to come up with all kinds of reasons why. All kinds of excuses, all kinds of distractions. The phone will ring. Your favorite program will just come on the television. Somebody say amen. No. Do you understand that the devil is a deceiver? And God didn't say, I want you to come up to the altar, say a sinner's prayer, go to church occasionally, throw in your tithe, and then live your life for yourself. That is a lie. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, what? Daily. Follow me, he said. And in order for us to follow Jesus, we have to die to ourselves. We have to be done with the flesh life. The flood of Noah was symbolic of being done with all the flesh. Do you understand? It was an immersion and it was a separation. And only the gold was coming out of that. Amen? That which God had reaped out of that entire world. He had a people. He had a people, amen, who were after his own heart. He had a people who were about building the ark. They were about doing the will of God because they believed God. They were people of faith even in that day. And the rest of the world was just eating and drinking and marrying and giving and marrying and doing their own thing independent. And they did not know until the day they entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. Do you understand, folks, that your flesh will win unless you get a hold of God and you start to develop a prayer life to where you got that flesh under submission to the Spirit of God? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We have a choice every day who we're going to serve, who we're going to obey. Folks, the time is quickly going by, the days, the hours, the minutes, and soon and very soon we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the King. We're going to all face that day, amen, when we have our day in court. Everyone, every knee is going to bow. And I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus smiling that day. I don't want him to squint and look at me and say, now, who are you? Oh, Lord, didn't I do all these wonderful things in your name? And who are you? It wasn't that I did all these things that I wanted to do in your name. It was that I did the things that you told me to do in your name. Do you understand, folks? A lot of times, and I'm going to get into this in the next couple of weeks, Bear with me. But there are different types of love. And sometimes what we call God's love is not God's love at all. It's our love. It's natural love. It's natural affection. It's by feeling that we do things. I felt like doing it, so I did it. I didn't feel like doing it, so I didn't do it. How many know if you have a good prayer life that God will work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure? If you have a good prayer life, He will make His will your desire. Amen? And it's not going to be, well, yeah, I'd like to serve you, Lord, on the mission field, but just don't send me over there to India or to Africa or one of those other countries, you know, where there's a lot of wildlife and a lot of critters and a lot of those ugly bugs that grow over there, you know. And no. But, oh, Lord, yes, I'd be more than willing to greet at the door on Sunday morning. That sounds like a... I'll volunteer for that. No, I thank you for greeting. That's it, I quit. But you understand, that's all part of it. But the key is this. Ask yourself this question. Am I doing what God tells me to do? Or am I just doing what God tells me to do when it feels good? Am I going to be like David? Am I going to be a man of after God's own heart that will do all of His good pleasure, all of His will? Even when it's inconvenient, even when it means I have to deny myself. Oh my goodness, I have to deny my favorite program. To pray or to come to church or to be with God's people or to reach out or to love and to serve somebody else. Oh God, how many know that agape love is not a self-serving love? It's not a feel-good love. It's I love you because you love me. That's phileo. That's a, you know, or eros love in some cases. That's a love, you know, where people are doing for you, so you're doing for them. And I just like being here because I like those people and they're nice to me. How many know that God's love is a love that says, you know, whether you love me or hate me, I still love you. For God so loved the ugly world. That was my translation. He looked at me. He loved me in my depravity. And even though I didn't love Him, I didn't look for Him, I didn't serve Him, I didn't care about Him, He loved me in love. He gave Himself for me. That's the love of God. That's the kind of love I want. How about you? I want to be motivated by God's love. I don't want to be motivated by my own filial love or my love that's just convenient love or feel-good love. The reason why a lot of the church in America is sick, it's weak today, is because we're not motivated by agape love. We make everything so convenient and so comfortable and so cozy and so pleasing to people because we want people to come to church. Somebody say amen. Oh, if they have a better worship team over there, I'm going over there. Oh, I like the preaching over here, but I'm going over here. Folks, whether or not we ever sing another song, amen? The question is are we willing to do what God called us to do? And are we willing to be where God called us to be? The real test of love is selflessness, not selfishness. Jesus said, I came to serve, not be served. Amen? He came to give His life away. Jesus girded Himself and washed His disciples' feet and said, I have given you an example. You follow me. I give myself. I give my life for you. Now you go and you do the same for one another. You love each other. You love your brother. You love your brother more than yourself. Do I love my brother more than me? Do I esteem others above myself? Do I just love those who love me? Do I just love those who are nice to me? Or do I have the love of God in my heart that says, you know, it doesn't matter whether you like me or love me. I love you enough to tell you the truth, even though you may hate me for saying it. Do you know why they killed Jesus? Because He spoke the truth. That's why they hated Him. He spoke the truth. And that truth was the love of God being offered to them. The solution to all their problems was in Him, not in themselves. Even though David failed the Lord many times, he never forsook the Lord. He never left the Lord. Over and again, he turned to the Lord in faith and repentance. I'll tell you what the devil wants to do. Is the devil wants you to focus on you. He's always trying to get us to focus on ourselves. How does it go for me? How does it look for me? What do people think about me? Am I going to get any recognition? Am I going to get any high fives? Am I going to get a hug on Sunday morning? And what if that stuck-up preacher doesn't shake my hand? Or, you know, ask ourselves this question, why? Why am I here today even? Did I come with my agenda? Or did I come with God's agenda? You know, folks, we got to leave our agenda at the door. Amen. When we come together, it's not about me. That's agape love. Jesus said, it's not about me, folks. It's about you. You're the reason why I came. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Not only that, did I seek you out, but I'm going to die in your place too, because I love you. And even those who spit on him and mocked him and crucified him, he hung from that cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I want that kind of love. I want real love. I want to live a life for the Lord. Amen. This year, folks, I want to challenge you to really give yourself, really give your life away. Give your life to God. Just give your life to God. You'll never regret a life lived for God. But you will regret a life that's lived for self, with self in the focus. How many have realized that I'm my own worst enemy, right? We do. We make a mess of things when we focus on the self life. And just what I can get. When we come together for fellowship, amen, even as it was in the Corinthian church, you know, they had problems because there was class wars going on. When the Corinthians came together, you know, for the Lord's Supper, they were fighting among, they had unforgiveness. They, you know, the rich were oppressing the poor. They were even getting drunk at the agape feast, literally getting drunk. Can you imagine coming to church and getting drunk? I don't go to that church. Get drunk on the new wine, amen. You don't need that inferior stuff. But can you imagine, and this has just been going on in the Corinthian church, and yet when we come together, why do we come? Why do we gather? We're here for Jesus. And to be here for Jesus means I'm here to do His will. I lay my agenda aside and say, Lord, what is your agenda for me today? How can I be a blessing? How can I make a difference in someone else's life? Not always being in the place where I have to have someone take care of me and I have to be a receiver, but God is a lover and God is a giver. And therefore, He came and He demonstrated, He poured out His life for us. Instead, I've given you an example. If you want to find your life, you want abundant life, you want a superior quality, superior abundant life, He says, then lose your life. Give it to me. Give it away. Be done with it. Be done with your life and you will discover my superior life in you. Is this making sense? That's what Jesus taught. When we come together, we should be coming with the attitude of, I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I want to impart my gift in you. Amen? And as we do, and as we give, guess what? God makes sure that you are satisfied, that you are taken care of, that you, all right, are provided for. as you take care of others, as you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you as well, because God is first. This year, I want to challenge really every one of us here to really take a look at the last year, where we've been, what it's been like. You know, what have we really done? Have we accomplished, you don't raise your hand, but have you accomplished the will of God for 2016? Did you do what you knew God had asked you to do? Were you faithful to the Lord last year? If God was to call you today, would you stand before Him with confidence and say, Lord, I've taken what You gave me and I've multiplied it. I was faithful with the gift You gave me. I've gone and brought more with me. Are you hearing me today? Can you look back at last year and say, yeah, it was a good year. I was faithful to the Lord. I had some difficulties. I had some hard knocks. God's been with me. God's brought me through. But you know what? I can say with confidence that I did what God called me to do last year. Now, let me ask you this. Are you willing for 2017 to do the same thing? Are you willing to say, Lord, it's not too late. You've still given me opportunity. How many times have you heard people say, well, God must have a purpose for me because I'm still here. I could have been dead a long time ago. And yeah, that's exactly right. God has. But you know, a lot of those same people that say that and repeat that go into eternity without ever doing that. They never actually do discover and do the will of God for their life. I don't know about you folks, but I want to finish well. I want to finish strong. I want the Lord to be at that day to look at me and say, well done. You did a good job. You did your best for me. You gave your first and you gave your best for me. Now I have a reward for you. Enter in. Are you hearing it? How do I say this? We need to rally. We need to pull together like never before as God's people. Amen. Throughout this nation, we need to come together. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to call on Him. Folks, America's in trouble. Most of us are aware of that. But folks, it's not going to be fixed unless we do something about it. We can look at it. We can curse the darkness, or we can do something about the darkness. We can be light. We can be salt. It's going to begin with you and I pursuing the heart of God, pursuing His presence, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Overflowing for Jesus. Not just doing an occasional church thing and once in a while I do my thing. No, it's a life lived for God. That's true worship. It's not just about singing a few songs on Sunday, amen, and hearing a message. It's about a life lived for God. That is your reasonable service. That is what we're called to do. We are to call to what? Offer our bodies now back to God as living sacrifices. How many here will say, you know what? I'm willing to make the plunge. I'm willing to make the full on plunge for Jesus. I'm willing to make the full commitment. I'm willing to say yes to God, and I'm willing to go all the way, even if it means I'm going to be uncomfortable at times. It means I'm going to say no to my flesh and yes to the Spirit. How many here will say, that's me? I want that for my life this year. Thank you, Jesus. The good thing about the Lord is that He knows that we're going to fail. He knew Peter was going to fail before he failed. But God doesn't kick you when you're down. God reaches out His hand and says, okay, so you blew it. I'm here to help you back up and get back in the race. Amen? You fell out of the race, get back in. That's all you got to do. Get back in the race. But set your focus on the prize, Jesus Christ at the end, amen, of the road. Jesus standing there waiting for you and I when we come to see Him in that day, to have Him smile and say, I know who you are. You have denied yourself and you have followed me. And now you will enter into the joy of the Lord. You're here today and you say, you know what? I really want to surrender my life anew. I want to surrender my life anew for this coming year to really seek God's heart, to pray, to seek His face, to discover what it is that God has called me to do, and not only know what I'm supposed to do, but to actually do it. I want to do the will of God this year in my life. If you're here and you say, yes, that's what I want, then I want you to do something as an act of humility, to come and bow before the Lord and be willing to acknowledge these things before Him, to confess these things to Him and say, Lord, I haven't lived like I should for You, but this year I want to give myself fully to You and to the work of the ministry. I want to join myself together with my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I want to be part of Your army in saving the lost. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we ask You for grace right now. Holy Spirit, come overshadow every one of us here. Draw us to You. If you're here and you say, I want that for my life, I want Jesus, come and kneel. Just come. If you're able to kneel or if you can stand, that's fine. Just come. And I want you to commit yourself. Hallelujah. And I want you to remember this date. It was January 1st, 2017, when I gave my life. I committed myself fully to do the work, the will of God. Father, we just pray Your fire right now. Let Your fire fall right now from heaven. Overshadow Your people right now. God, we pray that You would purify us. Just confess your sins to God. Confess the fact that you haven't been living for God like you know you should. Just be willing to give it all to Him now. Say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I confess it before You right now. Lord, I turn away from myself this day. Lord, I lay my life down at the altar today. I give You my life today. Jesus, I want You to forgive me and to cleanse me and to renew a steadfast spirit within me. I want You to, Lord, to grant me the grace that I need, Lord, to do Your work this year. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.